Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Oregon, Texas. Today is October the 5th, 2024, or it is the third day of Bull 2028, and we're going to start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song, and then we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to go into our reading of this is part, it's a continuation of the leopard-like beast. We're on two shepherd's rods, page 93, and we're going to continue on now. Okay. We're in actually we're on page 95. We'll read the last line on page 94. It says, disobedience to the word of Yahweh is blasphemy, and blasphemy is hypocrisy, and that's also a sin against the Holy Spirit, and that's an unpardonable sin also. If you don't correct yourself soon enough and turn your ship around, then you're headed for perdition. That is to say, they are not what they profess to be. For hypocrisy hides the crying sins under or with the appearance of the virtue. For this sin of the hypocrisy is difficult to cure, and that it is not easily discovered by men. For we cannot understand the hearts of others, nor discern between the cloak of hypocrisy and the life of holiness. For a spiritual deception has its beginning from a being other than human. Therefore, the scheme is so cunning that it cannot be discerned by the finite observation. For this kind of a deception can only be recognized under or with the close scrutiny of the holy word of Yahweh and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. For the effectual means for the curing of such a well-devised plan of the deception is a steadfast belief in that there is an all-seeing eye of the Yahweh who sees sin wherever it is and will bring it into judgment. For a hypocrite may hide his sin from the eyes of the others and sometimes from his own conscience, but can never impose upon the Yahweh. For the Paul, looking forward under such a time as this, says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's talking about the house of Israel now. He's talking about the Seventh-day Adventist church at this time. But after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And that's 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest that man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through the breaking of the law, dishonest thou Yahweh. Romans 2:21-23. For the careless and indifferent, Job comments as follows: for it shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. Job 18:13. For the seven heads are to symbolically point out these high places ruled by the unsanctified leaders of the seven churches that represents the seven houses of Israel in seven different periods of time, from Paul down time in the first century down to our time here in the 21st century, who have attempted to mix the sacred with the common and refuse to hear the word of the Yahweh. For the biblical number seven, denoting completeness, naturally would comprise all Christendom, that's what I said, for the first century through the 21st century, at the time that the prophet's truth is made known. Such apostasy is not a strange thing in the history of the Yahweh's people. Right now, because Brother Johnson, he had the closing work for the Adventist Church. He had the last feeding pastor, the third one, the Gilead Center. And he had the creation calendar, and he had restored all of Yahweh's government, the theocracy. He restored it, and the ordained system of true worship. He published it. He sent it to the Adventist Church. They rejected it. Brother Johnson ended up rejecting his own works at the end of 33 years of supposedly teaching Yahweh's government with the creation calendar, and he apostatized and committed hypocrisy. Such apostasy is not a strange thing in the history of Yahweh's people. For the time and again, the church has fallen under a satanic flood. In the Luther's day, in 1500 A.D., when he was a monk in the Catholic Church, conditions were as bad as when the church crucified Yahshua 1500 years earlier. If this generation is more wicked than any before it, what would immunize the church from just such an apostasy? It is accepted by most Bible students that the prophecies of this nature are understood only when the prophetic object in view is fully developed. Therefore, this is the time at which the symbols speak. However, there is another angle to this by which we shall prove that the facts presented are true. One head wounded unto death. Brother John says, I saw one of the heads as it were wounded unto death. And the wounded head has reference unto the stroke delivered to the papacy by Luther, the exile of the Pope in 1798, was a sign of the completeness of the wound and that the prophetic period had ended, thus fulfilling the words, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, Revelation 13:10. Had not the papacy received the deadly wound, well, I'll tell you one thing, the reason why it was on the seventh head is because then his first fell to the Catholic Church. By 1890, the Adventist Church had fallen into the captivity of the Catholic Church. Had not the papacy received the deadly wound by Luther, the Pope could not have been put into prison by the French general. For before the pontifical authority received Luther's sword, the Pope reigned supreme. But the blow weakened his power, and the result was that Protestantism came up on the stage of the action. For the continual infliction began to irritate the head, until finally the Pope landed behind prison bars, where the annoyance continued until 1870, when ultimately the temporal power of the Pope was taken away. That being the last vexation of the head, it showed that it was left to heal its deadly wound. Quoting the words of the Luther explaining how the papacy was wounded, I put forward Yahweh's word, I preached and wrote, this is all I did, and yet while I was asleep, the word that I had preached overthrew popery, so that neither prince nor emperor has done it so much harm, and yet I did nothing, the word alone did it all. The Great Controversy, page 190. I began this work in Yahweh's name, said Luther. It will be ended without me and by his might. That's in page 142. Let none misunderstand the following statement, for the same author has recorded them both. Therefore, it would be unjust to misconstrue the one statement, for by so doing, we would throw out of the harmony the other, speaking of the 1260 years we read. This period, as stated in the preceding chapter, began with the supremacy of the papacy in A.D. 538 and terminated in 1798. At that time, the Pope was made captive by the French army, and the papal power received its deadly wound, and the prediction was fulfilled. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. ID page 439. Note that the aim of the author in this statement is not to tell how the wound was received, but to show that the prophetic period ended with the imprisonment of the Pope, which fulfilled not the words, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, Revelation 13:3, but rather the scriptures quoted, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, Revelation 13:10. Shall we ignore Yahweh and His Spirit and give to Berthier the credit, thus justifying stupidity? His deadly wound was healed, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Revelation 13:3. For the William Miller is with the proclaiming of the prophetic period of the 2300 days prior on to 1844. For that wonderful prophecy was delivered unto the antipodal apostolic, delivered unto Christendom with the great power by the Spirit of the Yahweh. Though the leaders of the nominal churches could not trying to contradict the truth presented by Miller, they turned a deaf ear to the doctrine taught by him. But as the disappointment came in 1844 through the misunderstanding of what was to transpire at the end of the prophetic period, the moment created by the miller came unto its end. For the second angel's message of the Revelation 14:8 had announced that the Babylon, the church's power around 1844, had fallen. That is to say, Yahweh would let no light shine upon his word through these fallen churches. Had Yahweh not called forth another false movement, the deadly wound would have been healed at that time. By the divinely called movement and aided by the writings of Ellen G. White with the spirit of prophecy, Yahweh's intention was to keep the deadly wound on the head. But the prophetic word of Yahweh says his deadly wound was healed. Since Yahweh's holy word declares that the wound was healed, and as the prophecy cannot be broken, it is positive that the wound is healed. But if a person isn't, by the obedience unto Yahweh's word, is what inflicted the wound, then true Protestantism only can keep the painful sore on the head. But if the wound is healed, then it is evident that they unto whom Yahweh has committed the message for a perishing world have been defeated in the same manner as every movement since the world began. It is the most wonderful thing to note how the only enemy has, how the old enemy has succeeded in the defiling of the church in every age through its leadership. The highest human intellect has been continually led into error. That highest human intellect in this church was the angel to the candlestick that represented, and thus have served Satan to their own downfall. For the Yahweh's people never profit by the historical and biblical fact. Not these things written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. For the Yahweh by his holy word commands, cease you from men whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. As it has been accepted that the exile of the people of the Pope in 1798 was a signal that the infliction had been accomplished, so then, as he has gained back his temporal power, it future proves that the deadly wound is healed. These facts cannot be denied, for it is admitted that the incident of 1798 is true. Therefore, the one in 1929 cannot be refuted, that this is the time under which the prophetic symbol speaks. His deadly wound was healed. Read The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, for the entire volume deals with that subject. All the world wondered after the beast, for his deadly wound was healed, John says, and all the world wondered after the beast. Note that the world wondered after the beast and not after the head. Therefore, it cannot mean that the world would necessarily have to enrolled in a membership of the system represented by the head, for the significance is that all the world has partaken of the spirit of the beast, worldliness. The world in general has never been otherwise. It could not be said that all the world wanted us to be, if the people whom Yahweh has entrusted with the gospel or the truth of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, are free from the spirit of the beast. But it must be that they have betrayed their trust and partaken of its spirit. And that would have to apply to Gilead Center, the last feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel of today. Where is the distinction between the Adventist Church and the world, the seventh head? For the name of the blasphemy is our next subtitle, and upon his head the name of blasphemy, that is, resistance of the known truth, expression of a defiant impiety and irreverence towards Yahweh or things held sacred, mocking Yahweh's personality and authority. The prophet Isaiah, looking forward unto this time of the wholesale deception headed by the so-called spiritual gods, said, and in that day, seven women shall take a hold of the one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach, Isaiah 4:1. It is an admitted fact among the Bible students that churches are symbolized by women, pure women, pure church, as in Jeremiah 6:2, Revelation 12:1, vile women, corrupt church, as in Revelation 17:4-5. Isaiah says there are seven women. Well, the number comprises of these same churches. They say, we will eat our own bread. That is, they want to have their own way. They care not for the Yahweh's way, his word. We will wear our own apparel. Well, that's what our landlord here says, Barbara. She's the name of our landlord here in Elgin, further. And I showed her what was the proper apparel for a woman, and she said, well, she rejected that, and she said, she's going to wear her own. And she's wearing her own. And it's man apparel. It's man's apparel, and she's wearing it. And the Bible condemns it. Okay. That is, they want their own plan and a preference to Yahweh's plan or his righteousness. Thereby, they clothe themselves with the self-righteousness. For their aim is to be called by the one man's name. That is, by the name of the Yahshua, Christian, to take away their reproach. For the name of Christ, you call it here, is Yahshua. And so they want to be called by his name, that way they can certainly be recognized as Christian to take away their reproach. People have come to suppose they can do most anything under the guise of Christianity and get away with it. Well, that's our landlord right here. She's a Seventh-day Adventist, born in the Adventist Church. She wears her own apparel and is man's apparel. And she believes in the feast days, but she don't keep them. She just acknowledge them that they're true, and she believes in the sacred name. And I don't know whether she uses that or not, but she just says, I believe all that stuff. But she don't do it. So she fits right into this description here. For the gods of Christianity and get away with it. Yahweh will let them continue their course until they, like Belshazzar, have passed the boundary line of divine grace, and then he will call them to account. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast him, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. Revelation 13:4. The question may be asked, how can a professed Christian worship the dragon? Well, the answer is easy. And the worship of the dragon can be clearly seen, for the present system of the worship by the so-called Christian institution is unquestionably pagan. Sunday, Christmas, and Easter keeping, etc., originated in ancient Babylon from the old pagan religion in honor of the sun god. Christians in the modern time assume to honor the Most High Yahweh with the pagan customs, calling them Christian doctrine. Christianism has taken a grip on these pagan festivals as a leech on a human body. As a sluggard sucks the blood unaware that his satisfaction brings him to destruction, just so with the Protestants and their pagan commemorations, even daring to call them by the name of Yahshua, blasphemy indeed. Every student of the ancient history knows this to be true. Likewise, every Bible student knows that these so-called Christian festivals are unbiblical as well as unchristian. If these institutions were Christian or biblical, they would certainly have been spoken of in the Bible. But since they are not found in the Word of Yahweh, Christians had better leave them alone lest they be found worshiping the dragon. For the Jeremiah, looking forward unto this time of the apostasy, says, thus saith the Yahshua, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the curses of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe, for they deck it with the silver and with the gold. They fasten it with the nails and with the hammers, that it move not. Jeremiah 10:2-4. Though the word that declares, learn not the ways of the heathen, professed ministers of the gospel will cut a tree from the forest and deck it with the silver and gold. Then they're called it by the name of Christ, Christmas tree. What a greater blessing can one do? Well, in the first place, Christ is not his name, the Son of Yahweh, it's Yahshua. So they give the Son of Yahshua, of Yahweh, Yahshua, they give him a false name, Christ, and then they name a false pagan holiday after Christ. They call it Christmas tree. What greater blasphemy can one do? Are ministers and religious teachers ignorant of these things? Yahshua said, Yahweh is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the Spirit and in the truth. For the John heard the men define Yahweh, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with them? That is, who can abolish this pagan system of the worship? Is there one? For they challenge Yahweh's authority. It may not be said by the word, but it is most decidedly expressed by the action. For the man's discernment is blunted by sin, and when an attempt is made to associate the sacred with the common or pagan, they see no evil. Though the word of Yahweh declared, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of Yahweh, and much patience and affliction and necessities and distresses and strife and imprisonment and tumult and labors and watching and fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of the truth, by the power of Yahweh, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by the honor and dishonor, by the evil report and good report, as the deceivers and yet as true, as the unknown and yet well unknown, as the dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is in love. Be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers? For what fellowship hath the righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath the light with darkness? And what concord hath Yahshua with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of Yahweh with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Yahweh. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty. This is actually from Yahshua talking. The Yahweh Almighty is Yahshua. But I say it is. No, maybe it's not. Saith Yahweh, well, let's just stay with the Father on this. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Yahweh Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:4-11, 14-18. It is open disobedience unto the plain, thus saith the Yahweh, that has brought about confusion and disgrace in the Christian world at the present time. The reformers saw not all of these errors and were not responsible, for they had the light upon them as Yahweh has given the light upon his word by the degrees of making it possible to grasp the truth. He expects us to receive it and thus lead us to the victory. But one may say, if Yahweh could save others with less life, they should. Why should he give us more life? Or the many reasons we shall comment on only two. By the increased light on the Word, Yahweh is able to save a multitude instead of a few. For the second reason is that the last part of the church will be translated instead of resurrected. We need sufficient light to prepare us to meet Yahweh, an immortal being. Prepare us to meet the Son, Yahshua of the Yahweh, an immortal being. There's such ignorance of the Yahshua's word. I'm going back to the Son now. In the days of Noah, brought the world to its destruction by the water. A similar wicked condition reduced to ashes the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. If in the days of the Yahshua, just such hypocrisy, under or with the appearance of the virtue, required the life of the Son of the Yahweh for the preserving of the world from the destruction, what would the outcome be at this present time? For Yahweh cannot destroy the world, for he has a multitude to save. He has no other son for a gift to the church, for Yahshua is the only begotten Son of the Father. If the Yahweh's ideal is to bless the world through the medium of his church on earth, and they under whom the gospel for the world is committed have left the sheep and are serving the devil and the person of themselves, where is the hope of the world? For the only answer that can be given is, woe unto the sinners in Zion. Well, Brother Johnson was in charge of Mount Zion at the 11th hour from 1970 to 2003, and every last one of the members of his church went down with him, except Catherine and myself and Alan DeLong. Three of us escaped out of there when it was over with. For Yahweh will gather his sheep. He will have his church, but what will be the reward of those who were instructed to feed the lamb and are feeding themselves? Yahshua, who sees the end from the beginning and with his all-seeing eye focus on the present day condition, has said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them meat in the due season? Blessed is he that is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, Yahshua of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and upon him his portion with the hypocrite, and with the heads of the beast, which shall be weeping and gnashing teeth. So that's Matthew 24:45-51. So that wicked servant was Brother Johnson. And he knew he was in the 11th hour, but he was not aware of the 12th hour, because he said, like those before him, that there's only 11 hours, not 12 in the day anyway. So he didn't understand the scripture. So Brother Johnson was not aware of the 12th hour. That's when Yahshua came and cut him asunder. Was at the beginning of the 12th hour and the closing out of the 11th hour. Separating the tares from the wheat is our next subtitle. Peter saw a time when Yahshua will judge the church. That's the son of Yahweh. For the time is come that the judgment begins the house of the Yahweh. And if the first begin of that, but shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel or the power of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, 1 Peter 4:17. What would be the end of him who enters not the ark of the safety, but bears bar the way of others? As the prophet saw the day of the vengeance upon the sinner in Zion, and the Yahshua returning from the slaughter, he asked, who is this that cometh from Edom with side garment from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in the righteousness, mighty to save. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. That happened at the Gilead Center, 2002 and 2003. Isaiah 63:1-2. Fearful is the day that is soon to fall upon the watchman on the walls of the Zion, where the righteous only shall be preserved. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. Testimony for the Church, 1 and 5, page 56. For the separation of the pure from the impure is well described by the Ezekiel. Those who are worthy to escape the ruin will be marked by the man with the rider's ink on, after which the five men with the slaughter weapon shall smite the class who are left without the mark. Said the Yahshua, slay utterly old and young, both males and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark and begin at my sanctuary. And they began at the ancient land, which were before the house, at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, 2002. And Brother W. Johnson, then the ancient man, Ezekiel 9:6, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with sling, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city, Ezekiel 9:6-7. And that city was at Gilead Center at the time when this judgment started. Of course, 1 Peter 4:17. To close out the judgment of the dead and to start the judgment of the living. At this time, the tares are separated from the wheat according unto the words of Yahshua. Well, we've had a 20-year period of the antitype of Jacob fleeing into the land of Mesopotamia from his angry brother Esau, because Jacob stole his birthright. Jacob had to flee for 20 years into the land of Mesopotamia, Assyria. And that's where we have been since 2003. We are just finishing out our 20-year sojourn in the land of antitypical Mesopotamia, like Jacob did. Our next move is to go back to our father's house. And that's no doubt starts in 2025. That both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, get ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:30. For the purification of Yahweh's church marks the harvest, or the loud cry of the third angel's message, for the Yahshua of the harvest declares that let both grow together until the harvest, for the wheat gathered at the commencement of the harvest, and at the separation from the tares in the church, is called the first fruits of the harvest. As the John looks upon the coming, he heard a melody of joy, inexpressible by the human lips, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. The United States and prophecy is called the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, for the swiftly door. These were redeemed from among men. Being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. Revelation 14:3-4. And no man could learn that song. Experience only can tell the joy in one's heart at a time when rescued from the everlasting ruin and granted everlasting life without the tasting death. Merged into the eternity's ceaseless ages. A life that measures with the life of the Yahweh. Confidence in men is Satan's sure trap. And this is a subtitle for our continuing study. We may search as far back as we desire, and it is certain that we shall discover, unto our surprise and sorrow, that the Seventh-day Adventist church leadership has been so greatly deceived that in each period they fail to recognize the unrolling of the scroll, and as the blinded multitude took the side of the corrupted leaders against the revealed truth, they split Yahweh's church into numerous sections. Just by the defeating of the foremost Satan has been able to engage them into labor for him and thereby to overthrow the church as a body. To ascertain the accuracy of the foregoing statement, it would not be necessary to comment on the facts beyond the first advent of the Yahshua. Therefore, a brief survey of the Christian era shall be considered here. For the Satan had drawn the dirt brush over the eyes of the highest human intellect in the close of the Old Testament, a dispensation. Okay. The spiritual eyes were so skillfully fashioned that they could not see a bolt of lightning as bright as the sun in the darkest night. For the fulfillment of the prophecy, with the mercy surrounding the birth of Yahshua, with the miracles surrounding the birth of Yahshua, his spotless charity, his unselfish labor and wonders, and every step, touch, a look, and act, fill the very atmosphere with the divine love. Men who were destitute of the sense of the sight from their birth felt the healing power of the Infinite One. For the blind saw the Yahshua the glory and praised the Father Yahweh. But the religious teachers of the Israel were not affected by the power that moved even the inanimate objects. For the earth quaked and the sun veiled its face. The rocks were rent and the graves were opened. The dead arose and beheld the Son of Yahweh. But the proud Pharisees, priests, and rabbis esteemed as never erring, could neither feel, see, nor hear. There is no wonder greater than the one written by the actions of the blind leaders of that age. For the John speaking of the experience says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 1, 4 and 5. Every possible ray of the light pointing unto the coming of the Lamb of the Yahweh had been given unto the once chosen people, but it profiteth them not, said the Yahshua. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? With that, these experiences could arouse in the leaders and the people of this present time from the self-confident and counterfeit security to an earnest search of the positive Bible truth. The early Christian church, in the like manner, was dragged into the dark ages. As soon as the apostle passed away, Satan marshaled his agents, men of renown, into the church. The already blinded leaders laid their hands on men, not from the viewpoint of a consecration, but from the distinction, and thus made them shepherds of the flock. And the darkest hour of the Christian church, Yahweh, by the hand of Luther, called the attention of the magnitude of the multitude unto the terrible deception. But few were ready to listen to the humble monk. One would imagine that the most intellectual would have been the first to see the light and the path. Thus Satan, thus says the Yahweh, Luther, with a great struggle and at the risk of the life, founded the Lutheran denomination. But as he passed away, that movement in the like manner was corrupted and hardened against the new life on the word of the Yahweh. As John Knox, 1543, with the Presbyterian Church, with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, came with the additional truth, the leaders of the church refused to be interested. Thus, of the Lutheran Church, refused to be interested. Thus, necessity gave birth unto the Presbyterian denomination. These experiences have been repeated with the Wesley of the Church of England, 1725, with the doctrine of grace, and Alexander Campbell came in 1810 with the doctrine of the baptism. He accepted Wesley, but Wesley wouldn't accept him. And then William Miller came with the doctrine of 2300, but he wouldn't accept Campbell. And Miller came with the doctrine of the 2300 days, and Ellen G. White accepted it, all of that. But Miller rejected Ellen G. White, so he stayed behind. See the Shepherd Rod, Ryan 1, page 32, 114. We have far more to fear from within than from without. For the hindrances to strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the world, the view in hell. March 22, 1887. If the danger against the church has been from within, through confidence in the self-deceived leadership in every age, what would change things at the present time? These facts concerning Satan's sure traps echo and re-echo with the loudest wail to arouse a sleeper at this particular time. Hear the trumpet sound. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of the Zion. Isaiah 52:2. Prejudice with the dependence upon men, and the confidence of having all the truth and that there is the need of none, has devoured more souls than any trap ever devised by the enemy of mankind. For the class who accept the decisions of others without investigating for themselves, and refuse to be interested in the hearing and reasoning of the scriptures, have been deceived concerning the present truth in every age. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with the Yahweh. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, Yahshua knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. Men who are esteemed great by the world, Yahweh can seldom use. In general, the great educators of the age are carnal-minded. Therefore, the product from the schools of men is enmity against Yahweh, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Revelation 8:7. If the Yahweh would use them, they must first, with the great apostle, deny themselves, said Paul, for the preaching of the gospel, not with the wisdom of the word, lest the cross of Yahshua should be made of none effect. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1:17-19. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of the Yahweh. For I determined not to know anything among you save Yahshua and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. 1 Corinthians 2:1-4. But Yahweh took Moses to the desert, and there under or with his supervision he trained him for the 40 years. When the Moses unlearned all he had learned in the schools of Egypt, then only was Yahweh able to use him for an instrument of his mighty arm. When the Moses felt capable for the delivering of Israel from the Egyptian bondage, he failed. But when he saw himself helpless, then he was strong. If Yahweh should give great light unto a man who is high in his own esteem, and held likewise by the world, man would glorify himself and rob Yahweh of the glory. At this time, Yahshua answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Yahweh of the heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. For the Yahweh reveals himself through the instruments and ways least suspected by men. Thus he performed a miracle by the making impossibilities possible, revealing his power and arousing the sleeper with the light and voice divine. Men of the destruction have seldom accepted any light upon the word of Yahweh, simply on the value of his truth. This class generally accepts biblical truth after it becomes popular and when preached by men esteemed higher than themselves. Said the prophet, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. It is better to trust in the Yahshua than the quick confidence in man. Psalms 118:8. For the prophet Micah, looking forward unto this time of eternal security, said, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a God. Micah 7:5. For Yahweh's people must learn to look unto him only, depending upon the plain thus said to Yahshua. He may use a human instrument to communicate light, that it will shine on the never-erring word of Yahweh. Such light will dispel sin and rebuke the sinner, exalt Yahshua, glorify Yahweh, and debase men. For the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yahshua of the host shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Isaiah 2:11-12. Satan knows how to deceive so that it cannot be easily detected. For he studies the inclinations of the people, and the thing which appears most he sits as a trap, because the generation is trusting in the human intellect and are willing that others should think for them. For the devil will present to this class the most dazzling personality the world has ever looked upon. Said the apostle, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. For the Yahweh's instruments for the communicating light upon his word will be the opposite unto those of Satan. I thank thee, O Father, Yahweh of the heaven and earth, said the Yahshua, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Matthew 11:25. To the prophet Isaiah, it was revealed that the Yahweh will use the humble man to debase the proud. For behold, the the Yahshua, the Yahshua of the host, that's the Son of Yahweh, shall take away from Jerusalem and from Judah, the lawgiver, the house of David, the stay and the staff, the whole stay of the bread, and the whole stay of water, for the mighty men, and the men of war, the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, the captains of the 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. For the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Isaiah 3:1-5. Said the Yahshua, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Matthew 18:4-5. For a brief summary of the leopard-like beast, it has been previously proven that the leopard-like beast, by his 7 heads and 10 horns, is a representation of a universal system. For the 4 beasts of the Daniel 7, namely the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the nondescript beast, were shown in the vision as the 4 universal empires coming up one after another. This prophecy, as well as history, proves that Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome succeeded each other, for this unbreakable chain of the 4 links makes it impossible to intersect any one of the 4 beasts with a universal system. Therefore, the leopard-like must come in line after the 4th beast, as the 10 horns of the nondescript beast represented 10 kings that were to arise from the Roman monarchy. The crowns on the horns prove that the leopard-like beast represents the period after the fall of the Roman monarchy in 1798, at which time the 10 kings received their kingdom. He also came out from the sea. It is evident that he too was to be created from the results of war. Thus, the fall of the Roman monarchy gave birth unto a 5th beast, the mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and 10 horns. Show that he is a descendant of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. As he opened his mouth in the blasphemy 42 months, or 1260 years, it is undeniable that he represents the papal period from 538 to 1798 A.D., the time in which the papal head received its deadly wound. But as his wound was to heal sometime after 1798, and indeed it did by 1929, it had healed, it is evident that he also represents the world's history after the imprisonment of the Pope Pius the sixth, up until the time of his deadly wound was healed. These periods gave birth unto Catholicism and Protestantism. It would have been unwise and useless to devise this prophetic beast if the symbols would fail to reveal Protestantism as they do Catholicism. Before the 1260 years ended in 1798, the 4 Protestant denominations were already in existence, namely Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Christian, or the Baptist. But after 1798 came the First Day Adventist of Millerite in 1833, and the Seventh Day Adventist in 1844 to 1929 completed the 7 heads as the Protestantism fell by the declaration of the second angel's message after 1844, and as the symbol of the Revelation 13 in 1930, revealed that the Seventh-day Adventists wandered after the beast of the world, these two incidents healed the wound and drew the blasphemy over all seven churches. Thus, the complete fulfillment of the symbolical prophecy revealed the truth of the beast, as all other sects are but offshoots from these seven bodies that had included all Christendom up to 1930. As the prophetic word of Yahweh says, all the world wandered after the beast, worldliness, and not after the head, papacy. It denotes that they have wandered after the world and not after Catholicism. Out of this great apostasy, the message of Revelation 7:1-8 will seal and save the 144,000 saints from the SJA Church who shall never taste death. But the message represented by the angel of Revelation 18, with whose glory the earth is to be lightened, will call out from the world the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9 of the Gentile world. Yahweh, who is so particular for the good of His church and the revealing of His truth unto His people, has presented unto us wonderful pictures of the historical event, which is the evidence of love everlasting for the Israel His chosen, the first fruits of His harvest. Thus the Yahweh of the Jacob, thousands of years in advance, had laid His plans to present unto His people a work of the prophetic ark with the divine touch. This brings in verse 10 of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, that's number 11. Click on our archives for this and more. Let's just close now with a song.